Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and at Health and Wellness Australia and Auckland, we have a team of naturopaths around Australia and New Zealand who specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique, or PAT. And joining me today is our Sunshine Coast naturopath and PAT practitioner, Janet Howarth. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Jess. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so in this episode, Janet is going to be talking us through the hormone histamine connection. So we hear from so many women who are developing issues with allergies, sensitivities, and intolerances seemingly out of the blue, but are actually as they approach menopause. So I'm really looking forward to having you break this down for us and our listeners. And Janet, you've been providing PAT on the Sunshine Coast for almost 3 years now, and you actually specialise in hormones and providing support for women who are going through perimenopause and beyond in your private practice. So since it's your first time joining me on the podcast today, could you share a bit more about how you got into naturopathy and specialising in women's hormonal health?
Sure. I have been a naturopath for about 20 odd years. But I originally got into naturopathy as I was a nurse and working in the chronic health system. I could really see that this was a disease system, not a promoting health system, and I really wanted to be empowering people to take control of their own health so they didn't actually end up in hospital. So being a naturopath and a nurse for a number of years, I myself found myself in a situation where I had to heal myself first. Due to my own health issues being stimulated by stress and my own perimenopause. So I actually had to stop and take notice of that and treat myself, and this is where I actually came into being more of a perimenopause, menopause specialist in my work, and having noticed what I went through and a lot of women I was seeing were going through was this high allergy kind of state of feeling just histamine and all the things that come along with that. And I myself experienced that, it's a very uncomfortable situation, which really prompted me to find a solution and actually what led me to finding PAT as a tool. And it's been a great inclusion in my work with my women and myself and my own family to help change and improve that health for women.
Yeah, so you really have that first-hand experience. So that definitely makes a difference when it comes to working with people who are having similar issues. What are some of the issues that you have observed in your clinic when it comes to getting into 40s and 50s and suddenly dealing with symptoms?
Yeah, well, what I noticed was in myself, a sudden, and a lot of women that I see is that sudden change, they feel like burdened by reactivity to things out suddenly, like they might have been tolerating things beforehand and then, gradually noticing a worsening of symptoms that can seem overwhelming, such as itchy skin or hives or migraines or congested nose or gut issues, anxiety included on that, insomnia and reactivity to things and becoming more allergic, if you like, to pollens and dust and sneezing fits and all those really uncomfortable things that affect the quality of your life that drive people to finding solutions but having no idea of why that's happening for them, just desperate for answers.
And I think a lot of the time people don't realise how much hormones can actually impact these kind of symptoms and allergies and histamine. So to start off, we'll give a bit of a breakdown of each of the hormones that are the players in this kind of chaotic time. And like I always think of estrogen as that high energy, excitable hormone. It makes us feel amazing during ovulation. But could you explain the connection between estrogen and histamine?
Sure, yeah. Now, estrogen does get a lot of bad press at perimenopause time, but it's actually, one of those things that's evolutionary and helps us to ovulate and find a mate and look really beautiful at that time because it surges during ovulation, and that's like a evolutionary thing that helps us to attract a mate, if you like. But what happens at perimenopause is that our hormones start to change. So we've got estrogen that is, the prime, you know, the surge for ovulation, and we've got progesterone, which comes in after ovulation. So this is the second half of the cycle. So when estrogen is, you know, allowing us to ovulate, it's having a surge, and then comes in progesterone to lay down the right environment, if you like, for us to, you know, incubate or have grow our fetus. However, when we're in perimenopause, the first thing that starts to happen is a change in progesterone. Now, progesterone is very calming in the second half of the cycle. That comes in after ovulation, and we get that progesterone if we've ovulated. And that is a calming, you know, in fact, it's some people call it like a more of a histamine modulator or like
the natural antihistamine.
It helps us to sleep, and it helps us to offset that estrogen in the cycles and allow us to, you know, if our body is lucky, lay down and help us procreate. So basically, when estrogen comes in, it's offset by progesterone, because estrogen has an effect on our body where it is actually saying to our mast cells, release and dump histamine. So if our estrogen is too high, it's like saying to our immune system, come in with the histamine and dump that out of our mast cells, makes that very reactive. But when histamine does come out, it's actually speaking to our ovaries to say, create more estrogen. So then we got a feedback loop is to create more estrogen. We've got histamine coming in as a result of the natural ovulation, and then histamine saying, create more estrogen, so we're getting more of an estrogen spike. So when that happens, some women can notice it, some women just breeze through that and don't have any issues. And we'll talk about that a bit later, because when you understand how we can manage that and how we can't, that becomes a little bit more obvious if that's you or not. But all traveling through as a normal process, we get estrogen surge, and then we can get more of a histamine response in relate to that, and that can grow our estrogen. But once ovulation happens, we get progesterone coming in, and that calms everything down, because it offsets those effects of estrogen that make us feel a little bit anxious or because of the histamine response, which is, you know, if progesterone comes in, it calms all that down. It's a natural mast cell stabilizer. It tells the mast cell to settle down and stop releasing all that histamine, and it actually offsets that and allows us to get back to a normal, you know, life and have some sort of sensibility in the second half of the cycle, offset estrogen's reactivity effect of on our mast cells, and it decreases inflammation, and everything goes back to normal. So normal cycles in people who don't have an issue with histamine, then that you probably won't even notice that. But it's when there's a problem with that histamine regulation, if you like, or emptying that histamine bucket, if we get that overflow, it leads into more of a problem, because that's when we get intolerance to that. Mm. And that's where the issues can come in in that cycle. So
ideally, I guess, through a normal cycle, we'd be getting that peak of estrogen around ovulation, which would settle down. We'd have enough progesterone to balance it out in the second half. But some people may notice if there's that imbalance, that's when you start to get those issues. And I guess that once we get to menopause, we stop ovulating and we stop menstruating. But yes. I guess it's become more and more, we're getting more awareness around perimenopause. And
yes.
Impacts of that. So could you explain what's happening to our hormones during the time of perimenopause?
So in perimenopause, we get that gradual decline of progesterone, and you know, a lot of people just don't even notice that. So that can just be so gradual, but for some people that means that our estrogen is not offset by the calming progesterone anymore. It's lost its the capacity to behave. We're getting that unopposed estrogen. When estrogen's unopposed in the second half of the cycle, for people who are histamine sensitive or have an intolerance, then that's when our symptoms become quite problematic, because if that's, I think, when the issues start. Our gatekeeper of our histamine manager, our estrogen manager, called progesterone, is just slowly disappears, and we get that unopposed estrogen that causes the issues, and then histamine problems that can come in on top of that. And so when we are in perimenopause, besides that gradual decline of progesterone in the second half of the cycle, the first half of the cycle we can begin to have a few high estrogen spikes as the body has to stress more puts more stress on our ovaries to produce an egg and ovulate. It forces the body to have more estrogen response. So estrogen surging in the first half of the cycle. So instead of just getting a surge day 14, for instance, you could be having surges through the first half of your cycle. And of course, there's no progesterone there to offset those effects. So, and that in that case can be very problematic for some people who are responsive to histamine. But that comes into play if on day 14 there is like ovulation, then we get the high surge, and then after that progesterone, if that ovulation has occurred, can offset that estrogen reactivity to our histamine and our mast cells. So, but if ovulation doesn't occur in the second half of the cycle, we just end up with unopposed estrogen for the whole 28 days, and progesterone doesn't have any effect of settling down those mast cells, decreasing inflammation and calming us. So estrogen's in charge of the show, if you like, which perpetuates symptoms throughout the whole cycle, which is quite uncomfortable for some people.
So as we're getting more and more of these estrogen spikes, the estrogen's unopposed and it's causing chaos, our histamine levels, do they respond in the same way? Like we're getting these higher peaks and clear it? Like how's that all working?
Yeah, well, this is where, unfortunately, as we have the high estrogen, that just perpetuates more histamine. So we get caught in that feedback loop of the high estrogen tells more histamine to come on board, and more histamine tells more estrogen. And without something to break that cycle or deal with the histamine, then we can be in trouble. So how our bodies normally deal with that is, that can lead to an overburdened response by the body. So the histamine bucket is full. And so that's when we run into trouble. And if our bucket's full, it means there's processes along the way, like our body has not responded in the way it's designed to manage the histamine load. So, if you're asking me how our body normally does this, it to manage our histamine, it's really just a matter of actually managing our gut health, managing our stress, and managing our hormones so that we don't get those unopposed periods of time of that estrogen. But gut health is like I think I've written in a blog, it can be described as the puppet, behind the scenes puppet master, because that's in charge of us actually having being able to manage the histamine load by producing an enzyme called DAO, or the DAO enzyme, which actually helps our body to naturally detoxify histamine and eliminate it out of the body. This is produced in the gut. However, when we have high estrogen, that also tells our gut to stop producing that DAO enzyme. So our bucket becomes full in the presence of high estrogen because it's got no capacity to detoxify it. Yeah. And if our gut function is compromised, then we're not getting that DAO function. And also on the back of that, if some women have a decreased capacity to detoxify estrogen properly, because what normally happens is our body packages up estrogen via our liver and sends it through the gut for elimination using our bile and through the large intestine. However, in compromised gut, we have that recycling of estrogen because an enzyme can come in and say, oh, I'll take you back, and it unpackages it and reabsorbs the estrogen back into the body. So the gut really does have played a major role in our body detoxifying that histamine and allowing us to get back to a normal life, because it stops the production of our DAO enzyme and recycles estrogen. So, and the, you know, the stress of all of those things on our body just creates more stress on our body, which creates more gut dysfunction, because stress itself creates just gut dysfunction, which is, you know, just leads into multiple feedback loops going crazy and in a negative way. So.
Explain why some women experience these issues more than others, if there's these underlying SIBO or gut dysbiosis and things like that. Could that be almost like a precursor to being more vulnerable to experiencing histamine issues during perimenopause?
Yes, definitely. So if you arrive at perimenopause and you have a compromised gut, then you are like at risk, yes, of having an inability to detoxify histamine. And with that unopposed estrogen, it's creating more and more histamine, which has got no way of getting detoxified, eliminated out of your body. Your body's struggling for sure with a compromised gut. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier about how nervous system dysregulation during this time can also have a big impact on things. And I've heard that progesterone and cortisol actually compete for each other. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, when we're really, it's true, there is a bit of a problem with our stress affecting progesterone, because when we're stressed, our body prioritizes its own survival. So it will want to make cortisol. So cortisol and progesterone are made out of the same base of pregnenolone. So when we're really stressed, our body will prioritize the cortisol production over our progesterone production, because it wants to survive, it doesn't want to procreate. Which means that we have that unopposed estrogen as well, because we don't get that progesterone suitable levels to offset the estrogen in the second half of the cycle, which can be the starting point of things going wrong for women in perimenopause, because they're naturally declining progesterone as well as high stress. So we're not making enough progesterone because our body's prioritizing the cortisol, which just amplifies inflammation and amplifies the issue with estrogen and histamine, and can make that a bit of a problem situation for sure.
And we can become a bit hypervigilant when it comes into this time, because we're not being regulated by that calming progesterone. Estrogen in its nature is it can manifest as this anxiety and things like that, which can sort of add to the issue, right?
Yeah, definitely. When we have that estrogen unopposed, our histamine is primed, our mast cells are very reactive, and they are designed to help us, and they are in all parts of our body. They are like part of our immune defences, and they're actually on the lookout for all problems. But when we have that higher estrogen histamine cycle, our mast cells become very hypervigilant, if you like, and tend to almost be overreactive and reacting to things that, you know, you may have been able to tolerate before. And that's why we can see an increase in things like hay fever and pollen reactivity and dust reactivity at that time, because our mast cells are just going, I need to defend against this, this, and this. So our nervous system and our estrogen, our histamine causes all of that, which means, you know, we get ourselves into a state at times that, you know, when we have that fuel and the fire burning, our bodies and our nervous system fire into hypervigilance. And so just by becoming really stressed or anxious about going somewhere or a food to eat or anything, we can have what I like to call anticipatory reactivity, and this means that we're causing our body is fueling a fire to become very reactive to things just by thinking about things. And actually that sounds a bit crazy, but when you're in it, you feel like you're going crazy because we're primed to react. So it doesn't take much to set that process off, and just becoming stressed is the final straw, if you like, to have that happen.
Yeah.
So it is like this burning fire, if you like, that just needs one more piece of fuel of extra cortisol, for example, and then we're reacting to more things more readily, more of the time, for sure.
And Belinda and I also talked about this on a previous episode, where it's kind of trying to pinpoint what's causing your reactions can also become really confusing when you're having this anticipatory reactivity, because it's not necessarily being caused by a certain food or being exposed to pollens or things like that. But it's, if you're trying to figure out how to manage your symptoms, you might be trying to cut things out of your diet, and one day you react and the other day you don't react. So this is just a whole nother sort of thing you need to throw into the mix, and it makes it very confusing.
It's confusing and stressful, for sure. And people think, oh my gosh, I need to help myself. I've got this gut issue or whatever. I've got to help myself. And follow the advice of people who say, oh yes, we've got to heal our gut. So what do? They, like, as you would want to do, you want to heal your gut. So you're having more gut healing foods in your diet, which unfortunately are high histamines,
I have
countless conversations about people who, especially, you know, like they notice there's an issue at ovulation and their gut might be playing up, or they're actually thinking they're doing themselves good by having the bone broth and the sauerkraut and the kimchi and the high histamine foods, adding more fuel to the fire.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So what kind of symptoms can this excess histamine cause across the different body systems? You said it can be a bit of everything, right?
Well, yeah, because mast cells are designed to keep us safe. And so we're gatekeepers, if you like. So this can affect our skin. They can get rashes, itchy skin, eczema flares, if you like. That can be, in some people who have been just managing, lead to breakouts. The straw that broke the camel's back. The brain is very responsive or reactive to histamine because it is actually a neurotransmitter, and it's like an excitatory neurotransmitter that it can affect the balance of our other neurotransmitters, and that can throw fuel on the fire as well and lead to anxiety and insomnia and migraines, brain fog, for sure, which I see a lot in perimenopausal women. Our breathing can be affected, whether this means that we have more sinus congestion, like us eating a meal. We can have sneezing fits when we're even eating a meal. But our bodies are telling us all the time how it's responding to things. And if you can listen and make sense of that, which can be very confusing, then you can read what's going on. But there's so much at times going on, as well as the gut, like nausea and bloating and diarrhea, that people feel, oh my gosh, I've got gut issues, I've got all this going on, I've got to heal my gut, go to the histamine foods, and perpetuate that cycle unknowingly by trying to help yourself, making the situation a little bit trickier. And this, you know, continues to have effect on our heart. We can get, you know, jittery, palpitations. Anxiety is like that, can be a feature for a lot of people, and insomnia for sure. But also our periods become heavier, and it's just all round a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. And one question I had was, so this is all happening during perimenopause, which is a very chaotic time.
Yeah.
Is it a case of once we hit menopause, all of these symptoms magically go away? Is it that simple?
Well, you would think that without histamine being fueled by estrogen and the estrogen surges of perimenopause, and when we hit menopause, we rather than being in a fluctuating chaotic estrogen state, we're in a more of a low estrogen state, and we don't have that as a fuel to the fire. But for a lot of women, when they reach that period of time, they already have a bit of, you know, perpetual nervous system, you know, overwhelmed nervous system just by the last 4 to 10 years of a little bit of, you know, uncomfortable period of perimenopause can lead to, when you get to perimenopause, being exhausted and nervous system dysregulation can remain. We can still have gut issues because of all of the trouble that we've been through with our, you know, our histamine and gut issues. If we haven't resolved that, then we can still have the production of DAO enzyme problems, which means that we still can't detoxify that histamine from our body, which it can be an ongoing factor regardless of the estrogen. Now our body has a learned immune response and that becomes a self-perpetuating cycle despite the estrogen not being there to fuel the fire. So we can still have that problem with histamine-related you know, body symptoms for sure without estrogen. That's definitely, and we still need to address the underlying factors which can help our body to release the pressure of the histamine in our body for sure.
Yeah. And I guess we've seen in the clinics a lot as well, people who've developed these reactions potentially during perimenopause out of the blue, and then they're still reacting well into menopause to these triggers because I guess the neural pathways, the immune system has learned that this is something to react to, and it's not so easy for that to just automatically switch off, sadly. So I guess that's where it comes into, like, where do you start when working with women who are struggling with these issues, and what role does positive association technique play in these cases? How do you find it beneficial?
Yeah, so I find positive association technique really beneficial for women. It can really calm that reactivity when we have so much going on and women just don't know where to start. So of course we always need to address the underlying drivers, but the addition of positive association technique is key to, I think, breaking that nervous system histamine estrogen cycle, that loop that just perpetuates and that has that high reactivity, that unopposed just chaos. It can calm that nervous system response by retraining the body that this is not something to be angry and negative about, meaning those individual substances such as pollens or dust or amines, for instance, or histamine itself. It's something that you can have a positive association by retraining the autonomic nervous system. It can actually relieve that pressure enough for us to actually have some success with the underlying drivers as well. So it complements it so nicely, I feel, with my clients who commit to doing that as well as the drivers, because it's that nervous system retraining. It's highly beneficial, especially during that time when we just have a lot of chaos and women just don't know where to start, and sometimes our underlying drivers can take a while to assist and change and relieve that burden, because it's not as simple as, you know, taking antihistamines. Often they don't work, and I don't recommend that people do that long term, because that can actually add more fuel to the fire, and long term it can decrease your body's own ability to produce the DAO enzyme. So, and then on the flip side of that, people say, well, why don't you just have an antihistamine diet? And a low histamine diet is something that I feel, if you are wondering if histamine is a problem for you, you could bring it in, a low histamine diet. A low histamine diet is no fun. It's just
all good stuff.
It's like, if you, which is really interesting to learn what foods are high in histamine. Like, you wouldn't think that eating spinach and avocado, those things, how could they perpetuate the cycle and add fuel to the fire? Those are healthy things. But, you know, but sometimes by taking out histamine in the short term, you can see whether that's having an impact. Sometimes that is, you know, I think it's very difficult to do, and sometimes we can you do that in combination with other things just to help break that cycle. But it's not something that I think people can do long-term successfully. It is just, it's no fun. You cannot go to the grazing table on a low histamine diet. But it can be beneficial in the acute phase of, you know, when you are having a histamine flare. Sometimes women crave histamine high foods such as, you know, miso ramen, and you're actually fueling the fire and you think you're doing yourself good and just getting some comfort of something that you really love to eat, but it can be end messy. It can just be and so by removing those foods at that time, it can be beneficial, but it's not a long-term solution, and neither is antihistamines. And antihistamines don't work for some women anyway, especially some women who may be tending towards MCAS. I find that just antihistamines can work, but often they're not trying the right antihistamines and the right dose, and it's just not a long-term solution in any case, I think. But by, you know, it can be part of the, under medical guidance, it can be part of the solution for women and be very helpful, but it's not the whole picture for sure.
Yeah. And I guess for any people who are listening for the first time, I'll give you guys a quick rundown of what's involved in a PAT session. So we have naturopaths like Janet based all around Australia as well as in New Zealand, and they use a form of muscle testing or kinesiology, which is a really quick and easy and gentle way to assess for a whole range of reactions. So looking at different foods like some of the ones you mentioned, amines and histamine itself, as well as those airborne things like pollen, dust mites and mold, for example. So then we get a really good idea of what may be contributing to your symptoms and what you may be reacting to. And then we use a chiropractic tool called an AcuStim to stimulate acupressure points down the back. And what this does is helps to regulate that response that the body's currently having to the trigger and help to calm down that response and the nervous system. So then you're not going to get those big wild flare up in symptoms every time you're exposed to it. And like you said, Janet, it can be a really good combination approach when you are working on gut stuff, nervous system regulation. This can be part of that kind of part of the puzzle to help settle things down for them as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think the key takeaway is that this is a real issue as well. Like, so many women are told that it's just your hormones, but there really is good support available. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the podcast. It's been so interesting to learn about this intricate relationship between our hormones and histamine. And I think our listeners will really get a lot out of it. And I'm also going to put a link to Janet's private practice website for anyone who thinks they may need the support of an amazing naturopath to help get their system back on track. And Janet, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share before we wrap things up?
Yeah. So it's important to remember that every woman's perimenopause is different. And so, some women breeze through this time. Some women have a really problematic period with this estrogen histamine reaction causing a lot of difficulty and ongoing issues throughout many different systems. And it's really important to remember that the key to finding a solution is finding a practitioner who understands these interconnections and can create a personalised approach using the right combination of nutritional support, herbal medicine, lifestyle changes and complementary therapies, because that really can be life-changing in this really pivotal time of a woman's health and well-being. And it sets the scene for the next 20 years beyond that of health and well-being. So it's important to, adjust and treat all of those things during that time so that you can go on having the most amazing menopause journey after that, and you won't be burdened and you get back to living a life fulfilling the way you've always dreamed, I think.
Yeah. I think you've said that perfectly. So thank you to our listeners. And to learn more about positive association technique or PAT and see if it is a right option for you, you can get a copy of our free PAT information e-pack through our website, which is naturalallergytreatment.com.au. And if you did enjoy this episode, be sure to subscribe to our channel, and you can also follow us on Instagram at natural.allergy.treatment as well. Thanks again, Janet. I'll speak to you next time.
Thanks, Jess.